Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back with you.
Good. We want to wish everyone a Happy New Year from the staff of Gift of Grace Ministries.
Yeah.
And from Stephen and I, who are the directors, and and pretty much the staff.
Yes.
And anyway, we have a very low budget. Anyway, so, but it's the very first show of 2015.
2015.
It's really hard to believe.
I know.
And I'm
it
sure
seems like it was just 2014.
I know. It's just time goes by.
It's a really bad joke.
Yeah. And since the beginning, since it's the beginning of a new year, 2015, we're going to start with a show about how Messiah comes to be known by people, or how he came to be known by the Magi, who were commonly called the Three Kings, although we don't know for sure if there were three. We don't know for sure if they were kings. We don't know for sure where they were from. But we know they brought three gifts and they had camels.
Yes.
That's about all we know. And they, of course, came to see the Messiah of Israel. And since it's the beginning of a new year, you know, it gives us a chance to think for this year how we make Messiah known to people around us.
Yeah.
Or how we make him better known to people who sort of know him.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
what it's evangelization is
evangelization,
all about.
Evangelization, yes. And, you know, when we did a couple of shows on what we called the new evangelization, and this year I think is going to really be a important year for that. And, you know, we see our culture getting dark, and although I have to say I was a little more encouraged this Christmas season. There were many, many more people saying Merry Christmas than Happy Holidays.
Yeah, there were.
There were. And I think maybe that's a good sign.
There's hope, you know, there's hope.
Yeah, there's hope. And the other thing we have to keep in mind, too, is for those of you that are sort of well-connected to things going on in other parts of the world, you know, the church is on fire in every place else in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's just here and in Western Europe that we've kind of like gone to sleep. And while we're sleeping, the darkness has overwhelmed us. Yeah. And so whoever it was it Lincoln? No. Whoever it was that said, for evil to triumph, good men.
We just need the absence of light.
Do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the church, as we've said before, has kind of kept quiet and sat back and been comfortable. And in other parts of the world, that's not the case. In other parts of the world, the kingdom's on fire. So maybe the Merry Christmas will get things started here. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's hope.
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked, of course, we just celebrated the Christmas season, which was a celebration of Messiah's birth. And obviously, for Messiah to come and bring salvation, he had to be born first, because, of course, the Messiah has to be the God-man, and so the human part of him has to actually be born.
Right.
And we showed these amazing prophecies in Isaiah about the virgin being with child and bearing a son and calling him Emmanuel. And everybody knows the sort of the situation where he actually was born. And it was a pretty common, pretty low, humble kind of circumstance.
Right.
Maybe it's a stable, but a cave or whatever it is. But one thing's for sure is there's a manger involved, which is where animals eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was hay and kind of smelliness around. And it was all pretty obscure.
Yeah, it wasn't a five-star hotel. With, you know, palace guards and, you know, dignitaries and people of stature there welcoming the newborn king. It wasn't any of that.
Yeah. It was pretty much unnoticed and pretty obscure. There was an area right around there where angels were singing and the glory of God shone all around.
Mm-hmm.
And some shepherds saw it.
Right.
And some shepherds went to see what had happened because the angels told them. I mean, they were afraid, obviously, and we would be afraid, too, if we were there.
Every time an angel appears in the Bible, you get the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets afraid.
Don't be afraid.
The angel always has to say, don't be afraid. Every time. Including this case where they say, don't be afraid. But they say that, you know, the Messiah is born in David's city, and if you go there, you're going to find him with his mother, and you're going to find him in this kind of smelly place laying in a manger. And so they kind of got the news. This is not the kind of birth you would expect for the God-man to have had.
Right.
Should have been with power and royalty and majesty. And, you know, the Jews certainly weren't waiting for a Messiah that was going to be born in a stable.
Right. Well, you know, when you think about shepherds, they were a low class of the society.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't trusted.
Right.
They weren't, their testimony wasn't admissible in a court of law.
Right.
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 But yet God chooses to announce this, mm-hmm. the birth of his son,
mm-hmm.
by this chorus of angels to these shepherds,
right.
the lowliest of society at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're brought into, you know, Jesus or Mary and Joseph are brought to this obscure structure, a manger, a cave. And as you said, it's smelly. There's animals that are feeding there. And it's not a very clean place,
mm-hmm.
especially for a birth. Not very sanitized.
No. Yeah.
So there's no, you know, the dignitaries of the city aren't there. The high priest aren't there. None of the people that you would think or that we would associate with when someone of stature or power comes, you know, if someone of stature or power comes to Cleveland, well, you know, the people that are in the government are going to be involved, city council, mm-hmm. the mayor, et cetera, you know, the governor, the state,
mm-hmm.
all those people would be involved most likely. And that's what you would think of if a king is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're saying, his birth was relatively unnoticed and very obscure.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that you have, like you say, the commonest of people, but then you also have angels
mm-hmm.
singing glory.
Right.
So even though the circumstances are pretty humble, and, of course, as we're going to see in a few minutes, everybody knew that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, because that's a prophecy from Micah, probably his most important prophecy, most famous one. I can't think of another one offhand, but everybody knew that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. And interesting, if you would have asked any Pharisee who was standing around in the temple, where's the Messiah going to be born? He would have said Bethlehem, because it's David's city.
Right.
And so here, it had to be here. And it had to be, you know, circumstances were arranged so that Caesar put out this decree. They had to go back to Bethlehem for some reason. Joseph couldn't have stayed in Nazareth and done the census for whatever reason.
Right.
Some kind of Roman paperwork. But anyway, it was all arranged so that Joseph and Mary, who were both from the line of David, would end up back in David's city at the time where she was going to deliver the baby. So all these things kind of rolled together with the prophecy. And so then the next question is, since we're going to talk about these magi, since this weekend is, you know, the Feast of the Epiphany,
mm-hmm.
and if you're familiar with that, that's kind of like closes out the 12 days of Christmas, and it's not, you know, the 92 days of Christmas that starts sometime in September.
The Jesus
and
season.
And go to the 25th of December. Actually, the 12 days of Christmas go from midnight of the 25th until January 6th, which mm-hmm. is the Epiphany.
Yeah.
And that's why there's the song 12 Days of Christmas. Because before that is Advent, as we mentioned.
Right.
But that's another story. But we're going to have Stephen read from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, 1 through 12, which tells us about these these guys who show up, however many of them there were. Let's say there's three, just to keep it simple.
just to keep with the tradition here?
Tradition.
Okay, the visit of the Magi. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, excuse me, saying, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it has been written through the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage. After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way.
Okay, so these Magi, we'll call them Magi to keep it simple. I like that better than Three Kings. They were clearly from someplace far away. They were not from right nearby. They were not from just on the other side of Bethlehem. They had come a ways. And they were from the east, and we saw his star.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing for sure is these three, or however many there were Gentiles. They definitely were not Jews. And interestingly, although they were Gentiles, they came to find the king of the Jews. And that's pretty amazing. You know, when I was thinking about this the other night, when I was making some notes, this is kind of a prefigurement of what would happen. The Gentiles came to find him.
Right.
Jews didn't.
Right.
For the most part. Some Jews did, but not very many.
Right.
And it's interesting that these guys from hundreds of miles away, or maybe even a thousand miles away, come to find the newborn king of Israel because they find a star. They see the star in the east. They know, somehow they know the prophecies of this. They, if they were from Persia, you know, the Persians took over the Babylonian Empire. And, of course, the Jews were in exile in Babylon for 70 years, and many prophets wrote there, including Daniel and these prophets that had messianic prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have known that a Messiah was coming, that there were going to be signs.
Right.
So they were kind of tuned into this. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the Jewish leaders were not tuned into this.
Right, right. You know, the I was going to say when we were talking about, you know, Messiah's birth being unnoticed and obscured, is that how you're saying that the Jewish leaders weren't in tune with this? They knew it was in the scriptures. He was going to be born in Bethlehem. And I was thinking about when the nation of Israel was around Mount Sinai,
mm-hmm.
when Moses was going to receive the Ten Commandments. You know, there's the cloud is shrouded in or the mountain is shrouded in a cloud with lightning and thunder. And this is all before them. You know, they see all, everyone sees this, you know, God's presence is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the birth of his son, it's relatively very low key,
mm-hmm.
except for this chorus of angels that is praising God and these shepherds that hear it.
Yeah.
And these wise men or these magi that come to pay homage to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're traveling a far distance, like you said, and they're on camels.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're traveling a little distance because you wouldn't just pack up the camel if you were just going across the, you know, across the town.
Yeah.
So,
It's at least a few hundred miles, probably.
At least a few hundred miles. So, but when they arrive there, you know, if you're going to see this newborn king, wouldn't you expect there to be some type of fanfare or some type of celebration going on that, wow, the place is probably going to be abuzz with people that are just, you know, jubilant that this is taking place.
Yeah. After all, it's their king.
After all, it's their king. And we're coming to pay him, you know, we're coming to acknowledge him, pay him homage.
Yeah.
And what do they find when they arrive?
Yeah, like nobody around.
Yeah. Like, okay, where's...
Yeah, they figured...
you guys should be all over this.
Oh, there were going to be crowds everywhere and people rejoicing everywhere. And they were afraid to even go on hotels.com. They figured all the hotels would be booked.
They'd have to take the shuttle bus in.
Yeah, so that's why they brought the camels. And they find really not much going on.
Right.
And it's so these Gentiles find out about this. Mm-hmm. You know, they see a star, it says. And interestingly, in the book of Numbers, which is actually one of my favorite books, my second favorite book in the Torah, in Numbers 24:17, there was another Gentile who was a pagan priest type of guy named Balaam, who says, who God spoke through and said, this is in Numbers 24, verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Mm. And this is an amazing messianic prophecy. A star is going to come from Jacob.
Yeah.
You know, in the land where the patriarchs were, mm-hmm. and then more specifically in David's city, a scepter is going to come.
Yeah.
Now, sure, King David fulfilled that in a way. Mm-hmm. But, of course, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus fills this in the total way because he's the son of David, but he's the scepter with a capital S, where David was the scepter with a little S. And interestingly, that there was another prophecy from a Gentile pagan priest who doesn't even know what he's saying. You know, the king hired him to curse the Israelites.
Right.
But when he saw the beautiful camp, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He said, how beautiful it is. Mm-hmm. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your tabernacles, Israel. That's a song.
Ooh, yeah, it is.
It goes. No.
Anyway.
Yeah. So it's Motavu. No.
Yes.
What's the sign? Motavu.
Motavu. Yeah.
Anyway, oh, we're coming up to our first break already. Ooh. I'm going to talk more about this Gentile guy and people who are supposed to know about it who don't. But first, we're going to listen to this song, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Let God rise. Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, let's talk about Herod for a second. This is not Herod who enlarged the temples or anything. This is his son. But anyway, Herod doesn't really seem to know what's going on. Herod is kind of a, he's a puppet king that the Romans put in place. He's really not, you know, spiritual in any sense. Mm-hmm. Most people think he was, he might have been half Jewish. He might have been an Edomite. But anyway, what another really important prophecy that fits in here is from Genesis 49:10 that says, when the scepter depart, the scepter will depart from Judah when Shiloh comes. And Shiloh is a poetic name for Messiah. So in other words, the rulership is going to depart from Judah just before Messiah comes. And it, Herod was definitely not related to David. He was not in the royal line. He was this puppet king that the Romans had put in place. Because after the Babylonian exile, there were no more kings anyway.
Right.
So, you know, there was another prophecy from the Torah that came true.
Mm-hmm.
So these magi, you know, sometimes they're called astrologers. The word magi comes from the magic, you know, that they do magic arts and all this stuff, which had, you know, of course, the Torah forbids.
Right.
And we don't know exactly that, but, you know, they came from someplace far away. They were involved in what we would consider demonic stuff, you know, stars and astrology and, you know, fortune telling and all this sort of thing,
right,
which is condemned in the Torah. But here God uses that as a way to bring these people to where Messiah is born, because a star like this meant that a very important person had been born. And when they saw this, what apparently was a very prominent star, they knew that something had happened, and they were able to correlate that with the prophecies that they knew from the Hebrew scriptures about a new king being born.
Mm-hmm.
And people also had come from many countries. This has a precedent, because people came from many countries to pay homage to David and to Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Queen of Sheba comes to see the temple and hang out with Solomon. And of course, you know, he kind of has a relationship with her, and like he did with everybody else who came to visit. But, you know, people came from other countries to visit.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not unusual that now they see a sign that says there's a newborn king in Israel, so let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when Jesus tells the people of the time that, you know, the Queen of Sheba is going to judge this generation,
yeah,
and these other people are going to judge this generation because they came to see.
Yes.
And now and Jesus is speaking of himself.
Amen.
There's something more.
Yes.
Now than there was when she came to see Solomon in
That's
the temple.
That's very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the, you know, the Gentiles are, and so fulfillment of the prophecy, you know, those who did not seek me will find me.
Right.
Those who did not know me will know me.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like when there's these 10 lepers that are healed, and there's only this one foreigner that comes back and gives praise to God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, you know, we're not 10 healed.
Yeah.
And there's only this one foreigner who's come back to give glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, so as the Magi are coming and they're seeking the Christ, they're seeking this newborn king. And as you said, Herod's not in the Davidic line. You know, he's there because he's placed in power, but then he starts to wonder about, well, am I going to be replaced?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just talk about this king.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's interesting that these magi who come, they call him King of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call him some other thing like, oh, we think there's a really important person who was born, or we think there's a really important priest or prophet or whatever. They say that we came to find the King of the Jews. you know, they want to see him and they want to honor him. And they also want to worship him based on the fact that they brought frankincense. They brought incense,
right,
which is a sign of worship. The gold, of course, is kingly. So you could bring any king gold.
Right.
But the fact that they brought frankincense means they came to worship, because you would light incense when you were worshiping. In the temple, there was always incense burning. And myrrh, of course, was a spice that was used to embalm dead people. So, you know, even the gifts that they brought were prophetic. There's kingship, there's worship, and there's death that are somehow going to be involved with this baby.
Right.
And in retrospect, we understand that.
Right.
At the time, they probably wouldn't have understood that.
Right.
But it was a prophetic thing. You know, the Holy Spirit, of course, told them what gifts to bring.
Right.
Because everything had to fit together. So they want to worship him. And they came not only from a faraway place, but did a pretty long, uncomfortable journey to find him. They thought this was really important. You know, they could have said, well, who cares about some guy being born in David's city?
Right.
I'm not going to go all the way over there. You know, but they went through this arduous journey to get there.
Right.
You know, and that kind of, as I was thinking about this, you know, that kind of also applies to us. It's like, what kind of journey are we going to go to find Messiah? Like, are we bothered going to, you know, do we bother even saying, well, I'll just go down to the corner and it'll feel like it? Or is it like 5 miles from here? Or why do I want to go to this thing? It's, you know, 7 miles from my house. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You bring up a really good point.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to have any kind of arduous journey to get there? Or do we not want to be bothered with that?
A lot of times we don't want to be moved out of our comfort zone.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if I could sit on my couch and watch TV for a while, that's what I want to do. I don't want to go on an arduous journey.
Can I just get like an on-demand program of, like, you know, the birth of Jesus? And and it's, you know, it's not that, it's not, it's not that way.
No, they came from a faraway place, an uncomfortable journey to find him. You know, we've, those of you that are listening, you know, you've probably found him in all different ways. It's, you know, I love testimonies and I'd love to hear everybody's testimony, but that's not really practical. But anyway, everybody's gone through some kind of journey to find him.
Right.
And the people who aren't really looking for him or don't really want to be bothered with it don't go on the journey.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And, the, you know, these magi come and they say, well, where is he? We want to go find him. Where is he? There's no question in their mind that he's been born. There's no question in their mind that they want to see him, and there's no question in their mind that they want to take him these gifts. This is a determined group. This is a determined three guys who aren't Jews, are pagan Gentiles, maybe even astrologers, maybe even doing, you know, stuff that's condemned by God's law.
Right.
They say, we know he's been born. We got gifts. Where is he? We want to see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that, you know, as you're saying, they went on this long journey. And I think sometimes we probably overlook that, you know, especially during this time of the year where we've been on this journey. We've been on this, you know, Advent kind of precedes, well, Advent precedes Christmas, but the journey of preparing our hearts and our homes for the coming of Christ, you know, not just the first time, but the second time, kind of precedes that. And I don't know if we really think about it too much, about the journey that these men were on, that these magi were on, and also the journey and how it relates to really our pilgrimage in our faith life, of how important it is that we don't overlook or maybe sometimes think that the journey isn't necessary, you know, because once they get there and they're asking the question, where's the newborn king of the Jews? And they don't really find anybody joyfully celebrating this birth.
Yeah, they're kind of asking around.
You know, okay, where's the party at? Come on, where's the party at? Where's the, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't deter them.
That's right.
even though they don't find anybody remotely even like going, oh yeah, we know about this here. It's going to be here.
Yeah.
They still continue on their journey.
Yeah.
They're not deterred by it.
Yeah.
And they're in the place where
that's right.
They've come to Jerusalem. They've
yeah,
come,
within
or,
a few
they've
miles.
Come to Bethlehem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're there and they don't see anything, you know, really happening, but they
right.
still continue on their journey.
That's right. And sometimes, you know, and again, trying to apply it to our lives, our kind of normal lives is, you know, sometimes people that should help lead us to Christ don't do it. You know, there's people that are seeking him, and those of you that are believers may encounter some of these people, but you don't say anything to them. Mm-hmm. You don't lead them to where he is.
Right.
So that's another factor. You know, some people don't want to go look. Some people are looking, and they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people that know where Messiah is born are supposed to be helping them.
Right.
These people are supposed to know the prophecies. They're supposed to know what's going on. They don't. So they don't help these guys who are actually seeking the Messiah.
Right.
Even though they had all the scriptures, they didn't put it together.
Right.
Now, Herod doesn't know anything. He doesn't know any scriptures.
No.
He doesn't want scriptures being fulfilled.
No.
That's for sure. Because, you know, he doesn't want his nice setup interfered with. I mean, anybody who's going to be a king is going to interfere with his setup. You know, he doesn't want his reign ended. So, you know, he doesn't care about this. And I said something wrong earlier. This is the Herod that enlarged the temple. Sorry, I was thinking about it later on. But this is. So, you know, he wants to find out what's going on. So he says he gathered the priests and the scribes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, these guys know this stuff.
Yeah.
That's their job. They're supposed to know this stuff. And, you know, they know the law. They know the prophets. And boy, when he asked them, so what's the deal on this? Where's this Messiah supposed to be born? They don't hesitate for a second to say Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know Micah chapter 5, verse 2.
Right.
Because they've studied this all their lives. So when somebody says, where's Messiah going to be born? They know it's going to be Bethlehem.
Right.
City of bread. And it's the city of David. Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus is the son of David. And he's going to be born in David's city. They know the prophecies. The Gentiles don't know the prophecy. These wise men, you know, don't know, apparently don't know about Micah's prophecy, or they would have headed right to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
They're just following the star.
Right.
But the Gentiles know about it because of the star. The Jews should know about it because they have the prophecy.
They got the stuff.
Yeah, they got all the stuff. They got all the holy things, and they should know about this. And Herod, who is, of course, not only secular, but kind of power hungry and evil,
mm-hmm.
as we'll see if we get far enough in this, but, you know, he covers his evil intent with, you know, some false claim of being religious. You know, so where's the Messiah going to be born?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to know.
I want to pay him homage,
I want
too.
To pay him. Yeah, so he says to those guys, oh, come back and tell me where he is so I can go worship him, too. Well, you know, that's clearly not what he has in mind.
I mean, you know, I've often wondered when Herod gathered the, you know, the chief priests and the scribes, were the Magi, were they there?
Yeah.
You know, did they have this conversation of Herod's, you know, asking the chief priests and the scribes, you know, these three guys are here and they want to know where the Messiah is going to be born because they see this star.
Right.
What star? Well, the one, I don't know, they see it over there, you know. What was the conversation like? And what's interesting is they tell Herod, you know, he's going to be born in the city of David in Bethlehem, which is House of Bread.
Mm-hmm.
But they let the three wise men go on their way to find him, but yet none of them go and seek and find.
Exactly.
Which is really amazing because they're reading from the scrolls
mm-hmm.
that this is the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are coming from a far place away because they see the star and they're looking for this newborn king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't venture out.
That's right.
To find him.
That's right.
Which is really just amazing.
Yeah. And the Magi get this thing about it's in Bethlehem. They say, okay, thank you very much. And they start heading there.
Yeah.
Now, Nobody from Jerusalem goes with them.
Right.
Herod doesn't send anybody. The priests, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law don't say, well, let's follow those guys and see where they're going. Let's go see what this deal is. Because after all, we just read from Micah chapter 5 that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. We know this thing about a star is going to come out of Jacob. Mm-hmm. We know this thing about the scepter passing from Judah. And here we are, and these guys come and say they're looking for the king. Maybe we should just go over there and see what's going on. No, not a one of them goes. So these magi came from hundreds, maybe 1,000 miles, and the guys in Jerusalem don't go to the next town. I mean, you're talking about
right.
6 or 7, 8 miles.
Yeah.
You're not talking about, like, a long distance. Even on a camel, you could probably do that in a couple hours.
Right.
But they, you know, it's the next town. So these were his own people. These were the covenant people that don't bother to go see what's going on.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it shows that the other thing I was thinking about with this the other night was it shows that when you know where the Messiah is, you have to go. And it doesn't matter what people around you are doing. Mm-hmm. If you're with 100 people and you say, I'm going over there because I know he's there, and the 99 people say, ah, nah, I don't feel like going, you're still going to go.
Yeah.
You don't care who goes with you.
Well, you know, it's really an example of how any one of us can become complacent in our faith,
mm-hmm.
in our journey. Because,
yeah.
you know, many times, and I've heard people say this, well, yeah, I've heard that passage before, you know, or I've read that before. Excuse me. Well, I've been to a conference like that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else? What am I going to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And we become lazy, in a sense, in thinking that, okay, yeah, I heard that, done that, okay. What else is there? And the reality is that there's always something God can teach us through a situation or through his spoken word. Even if we've read a passage 100 times,
mm-hmm.
it might be that 101st time that we read it that God opens our heart to something new, and we go,
yeah.
I didn't see that before.
Yeah.
You know. So it's their, I guess their complacency, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
In just having the scrolls, having the word, and then not even acting upon it.
Yeah. And exactly. And I think the important lesson there is we can't let the complacency of a big group of people inhibit us from what we're doing.
Exactly.
If you're going someplace to spread the word, to spread the gospel, and a whole bunch of people say, eh, you know what? I've been over there before.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
You can't be influenced by that. Because if you know that's where you're supposed to go, that's where you're supposed to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when Jesus says, you know, why did you come out to see John baptizing in the Jordan? Did you come out to
yeah.
see a reed swayed by the wind?
Yeah. Whew. Mm. Second break already.
I know.
Wow. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back after a minute.
Rejoice, rejoice, dawn of the Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord has taken your punishment, destroyed your enemies. King of Israel, Lord of all his king, in the midst of us, you, mighty is his name, rejoicing over.
The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So then it says, the Magi rejoiced greatly when they saw the star again. So on their way to Bethlehem, you know, in Revelation 22:16, it says, he is the bright and morning star. Mm-hmm. So God's guidance leads these guys to where Messiah is. Because, you know, as you know, and we've said many times here, you can't go to Messiah unless you're drawn there supernaturally. Yeah. Nobody figures it out.
Right.
Nobody knows it from a mathematical viewpoint or a human viewpoint or something that you can reason out.
Right.
And these guys were no different. And, you know, these guys were not covenant people.
No.
They didn't exactly know everything about Isaiah and the prophets.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. You know, coming to faith in Jesus is not something that, you know, you figure out through a long dissertation of study. Mm-hmm. I mean, even God can use the study as a means to propel you along the way, but there always comes a point where that God's going to reveal himself to you, mm-hmm, in a supernatural way, mm-hmm, where it's beyond your, you know, I don't want to say it's beyond logic of reason, but it's not if you come to a logical conclusion, okay, Jesus is the Messiah, I believe he's the Christ, and that, so I'm going to receive him as my Lord and Savior. Well, what do you do with that after that? You know, there's always, when Christ comes into your heart, he transforms you. Mm-hmm. And there's a spiritual dimension of it, component that, transforms, that's the transforming power, the transforming grace that God gives us to become disciples and go out and proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, to proclaim, hey, here's the Christ. Mm-hmm. I know where he is. If you're looking for him, I know where he is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what we have to do today.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be reborn in the manger. And we certainly know that he's going to be coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to come to judge the nations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in our day-to-day life, we have to have the same tenacity, if you will, the same determination as these wise men that were searching for him, mm-hmm, to go and find him, and then to tell everybody where he's at, mm-hmm, to tell everybody who he is and what he's done for them. What he's done for me.
Yeah.
You know,
because we're supposed to have that information. We're supposed to have the personal testimony about it, the personal experiences, but we're also supposed to have the scripture basis for it.
Right.
And, you know, these leaders in Jerusalem had the scripture basis, but they didn't have the heart of it.
Right.
They didn't have the personal experience. They didn't have the testimony.
Yeah.
And so these strangers show up who are seeking, and they're determined to find him. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's really an important lesson.
Yeah. You know, I often think of our friend Rabbi Eric Lakatos at Tikvah, mm-hmm, his brother, when he was,
yeah,
there the one time and he was teaching, because he ministers to people in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the worst person in the desert is the person that knows where the water is at but doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
You know? And I often think about it because, yeah, if you're in the desert and you're thirsty, you need water to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're all in this spiritual desert at times, hungering and thirsting for Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we don't share, mm-hmm, Christ with that other person.
Yeah. I mean, a few months ago, we went through this Ebola fear.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it may be back again, but, mm-hmm, right now it's quiet. But we went through this fear, and, you know, one of the things I was thinking about during that time is, if there was an epidemic out there that everybody was dying from, mm-hmm, and we were here in this radio station or in our house, and we had the cure for it, but we didn't want to tell anybody about it, you know, what would people think of you?
Right.
Say, man, that's not very compassionate. That's very inhumane. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in the world's dying from the illness of sin.
Right.
We have the cure, and we say, well, I don't know. I don't think it's my place to be telling these people.
I don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to upset them.
Yeah. They're going to think I'm crazy.
I don't want to offend them.
Yeah. I want to be just like them anyway.
Yeah.
just like the Israelites were supposed to be separate. Then they said, we want to be like everybody else.
Nobody that has a light hides it under a bushel basket.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know. So then these rich guys, you know, these guys were rich. I mean, obviously, they bought gold and they bought frankincense and they were probably pretty well-dressed.
They had the best camels.
Yeah. And it says, you know, they found the child and his mother in this pretty poor, pathetic situation. And they didn't care. I mean, these guys lived in marble palaces and had all kinds of material stuff, but they came into this place wherever they were. And we don't even know when this was, but they brought the gifts and they worshiped him. Mm-hmm. And even in the middle of this bizarre situation, with these poor people, they discerned that this was the glory through all this veil that covered it, through all this covering of poverty and mess and, you know, unreal situations. They had the discernment that this was it.
Yeah. You know, and you know what's interesting is, you know, over the last 2 weeks, we talked about how God had to hide Moses in the cleft of the rock when he passed by him, because if he saw his glory, if he saw his face, he couldn't live. Mm-hmm. And he only gets a glimpse of the back of God. Mm-hmm. And yet, the God-man is born. And who sees him? Foreigners and the lowest class of people in the society. Mm-hmm. Shepherds and three wise men.
Yeah.
It's pretty astounding. You know, they saw what others wanted to see, but didn't.
Mm-hmm. And this really goes on through the whole the first century of the Christian experience. Mm-hmm. Gentiles come into faith in the Jewish Messiah, Jews for the most part not.
Right.
The Jewish leaders telling the people this is not Messiah.
Right.
Gentiles saying this is Messiah and we want him too.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, those, you know, the Jewish believers who did believe that Jesus was the Messiah were told by the religious leaders of the day, stop, you know, stop talking about that name.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you, we're forbidding you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they proceeded on.
Yeah.
Just like the wise men did. They proceeded on.
That's right. Good
and
point.
Shared what God had revealed to them.
Yeah. Like in when we did a... I think we did a show about when Peter and John were in front of the Sanhedrin and they said, don't teach in this name again.
Yeah.
And when they were leaving, they felt honored that they had suffered for the name.
Right.
So they went ahead and kept preaching.
Kept on preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a testimony of what we're to do, how we're to follow on by their example in sharing the name of Jesus and sharing the salvation that's offered to us.
Yeah. And you can share that, you know, you all know people at work or in your neighborhood or somebody you meet at the restaurant or at Starbucks or wherever that says, man, my life's a mess and I don't know what I should do.
Yeah.
Well, if you're there and you say, gee, man, beats me. I don't know what you should do. you blew it because that's your opportunity.
Right. Exactly.
And these people are looking for something. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking for something.
Right. And, you know, and the journey is a long journey. Just like these men were on this long journey to find the newborn king of the Jews. Our journey of faith is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't cover a couple thousand miles.
Yeah.
It covers a lifetime.
Yeah.
And the road on that journey can be treacherous, it can be easy, it can be difficult, but in everything, we're called to persevere and carry on to the Christ.
Wow, the show's already over.
I know.
Wow. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Do you think the wise men will be back by the time we come around next week?
Maybe next year.
Next year, okay. Well, we want to wish you a Happy New Year, everyone, on behalf of Gift of Grace, and we pray that the birth of Messiah, the newborn king, would reign in your hearts. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.